This is Naked Oceans with Helen Scales and Sarah Castor-Perry, and we've been talking about ecotourism and eco-labelling as two alternatives to overfishing. And another way to help support local livelihoods without stripping the oceans bare is to create marine protected areas, or MPAs. Well, we've had an introduction to MPAs on Naked Oceans a few episodes ago, and this month we chatted to Jan von Buchover to find out how the folk at Coral Key Conservation are working with local communities in the Philippines to help set up a series of fish sanctuaries.
Southern Leyte is found in the central Visayas of the Philippines, and it's an area that's renowned actually for the extremely high biodiversity, both on the land but particularly in the sea. The coral reefs there are known to harbor a really vast amount of different species. We had a coral scientist visit our area by the name of Doug Fenner, and on one of his dives that he did near a project site, he actually found more hard coral species there than he had anywhere else in the world in a single dive. So that was an incredible result. And we realized this was a truly unique area. Now, Southern Leyte is not as populated as some of the other provinces. However, the people that live there depend mainly on fisheries or rice or copra, which is coconut farming, for their livelihoods. And as a result, a lot of pressure is put onto the reefs there. Most of the fisheries are very small-scale, little boats that go out, and they catch things like parrotfish and groupers and pretty much anything that they can get. And this has been going on for, you know, several hundred years now. But even in Southern Leyte, the population is increasing quite rapidly. So there is a tremendous amount of pressure on the reefs, and a lot of the reefs, unfortunately, have been overfished.
And so I suppose that's where the Coral Key Conservation comes in. What is the project that you've been involved in order to help preserve this ecosystem?
Well, we were initially invited there. Coral Key was invited by the provincial governor at the time. It was quite a chance meeting with our CEO and founder, Pete Rains, who happened to be sitting on an airline and happened to be sitting next to the daughter of the provincial governor. And that's how the ball got rolling. We were invited there back in 2002. Since then, our goals and aims have been expanded and kind of shifted somewhat towards a lot more community-related work. And that includes engaging communities, providing them with workshops where we educate them more about the management possibilities that they have in order to help protect their reefs, but also to sustain their fisheries more effectively. And one of those means is to set up what we call community-based marine protected area. In the Philippines, they're often called fish sanctuaries. And what they are is they're basically a small area of the reef that is set apart. And within that area, no fishing whatsoever is allowed. There's some limited diving allowed inside for tourists. But other than that, the area is fully protected. And it's quite a small area. And in the Philippines, the way it works is every province is divided up into municipalities. And within each municipality, we have what we call barangays. And each barangay, you can compare it somewhat to a parish. So it's a very local-level political unit of governance. And so every barangay typically has, you know, several thousand people that live within it and have a particular coastline. And that coastline is completely there. So they have ownership of their own reefs, which is quite a unique system in the world. And the way we've managed to allow it to not only help enhance fisheries, we've also worked closely with the tourism sector. So there's several, initially back in 2005, there's only one or two dive shops. Nowadays, there is at least, I think there's five local dive resorts now. And if divers wish to dive within one of those fish sanctuaries, they pay a small fee, and it's usually about a dollar or so, not very much at all. But that money all goes back into the barangay. So the community sees financial benefits of establishing a fish sanctuary, which is great. But more importantly, what we're trying to establish is a situation where fish within the sanctuary are allowed to grow and actually reproduce. And after several years, fish start to leave the sanctuary, and that's where they can get caught by the fishermen. So it protects the fish within the sanctuary, but in addition to that, it also creates what's known as a spillover effect. So fish actually leave the sanctuary when they're at a size and an age where it's more productive for fishermen to catch them.
And do you think sort of community-led projects like this, where you really get the community involved, it's their area, and they get a financial benefit from it, do you think this is something that would be beneficial to roll out in other areas, not just in the Philippines, but throughout other areas in the world as well?
Absolutely. I honestly believe that it's the only way to really have successful management initiatives. I don't see it working any other way. At the end of the day, it's the people that live there that are the natural custodians of their reefs or forests or whatever it may be. Eventually, you're going to run into the situation where those people are going to be, they're going to be very upset by the fact that you've basically restricted them from doing what they've been doing for, several decades, if not hundreds of years. So it's really, really crucial that you look for means of allowing them to continue what they're doing at some level while also preserving those areas. And it's for their own benefit. So at the end of the day, if you can convince them that what you're doing is not only going to benefit the environment, but it's also going to directly help them, then I think you've got a winning formula.
And finally, what are your hopes for the future for this particular project?
Well, what we'd really like to see is a continuation of the establishment of these marine protected areas. There's obviously a lot of other issues which I haven't really mentioned. There's a lot of, for example, upland deforestation. So we get a lot of sedimentation, a lot of mud that gets washed onto the reefs and smothers the reefs, and that's been a big problem, in addition to pollution and other local issues like that. So what we're doing is trying to expand the project to also include a forest component. So again, working with local communities, but this time around up in the rainforest and working with them to help protect the rainforest there in a similar means to what we've been trying to do with the coral reefs, and we've managed to do quite successfully. That, of course, will require a lot more resources, and that's something that we're working on. And I think as far as Coral Key is concerned, that's really key that we start taking on a more holistic, what we call a ridge-to-reef approach, so that you're not only protecting the reefs, but you're also protecting the upland forests, because they certainly go hand in hand. And if you need to address both of those if you want to really have an effective conservation management scheme.
Jan von Buch over there from Coral Key Conservation telling us about their project in the Philippines that's helping to set up fish sanctuaries and educate locals about the importance of conserving their marine neighbours. Well, I guess that really links back to your news story, Sarah, doesn't it? That we know this, the importance of the local scale and getting people involved and caring about their communities and their use of marine resources. And that's when, we really can work towards sustainable fisheries, which is good for people and good for the oceans as well.
Well, exactly. And I mean, like Jan was saying, it is a little bit different in the Philippines because of the presence of the barangays, the sort of local parishes, and they own their own particular area of coastline. So it is very much a kind of an ownership of their particular area. So they do feel very connected to it, which obviously makes it very easy to go in there and educate people and say, this area, it's yours, it's preserve it, it's important. And obviously with the benefits of the diving and the ecotourism going on there, as well as helping to maintain local fisheries. It's all going quite well out there, so it's a good sign.